This is That Story Show, where we put your hilarious real-life stories into the spotlight. Clean comedy for ages 13 and up.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Your host, my name is James Kennison.
And I'm John Steinklobber.
And I'm James Steinklobber.
And we are here today to make your day. This is the hilarious real life story clean comedy podcast that everybody enjoys and loves. And we are live today at NorthX Con. Let's hear it from our audience.
Yes. Yeah.
People have come from all over America, and we love it. We love it. It's a special day, isn't it?
Super special. It's so good to see real faces, and yes. I mean, your face is great. James is.
Yeah.
It's good to see other.
It's good
Jameses
to look at other people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
See that they're not all weirdos.
They're not. None of you
not,
are weird. Not
some
a single
of them
soul.
Are a little weird.
Except for that guy.
I was talking
there.
To this one lady. No, I'm just kidding. No. When I first started podcasting, it was 2006. And that was still where we were scared of the internet a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't want to put your credit card out there because there wasn't no encryption and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was scared of all of the listeners. Like, I thought we would get... That's where stalkers came from.
Yeah, they showed up.
Because I never wanted to tell anybody, like, my family's names or where I lived or anything.
His name isn't really James Kennison.
No.
FYI. Spoiler.
My name is Marky Mark. No, it's not. It's T.J. Pendleton, but just trying to remember
it's
that
Garfield.
Later.
What's
we're,
his
we're
name?
Joined today by special guest host James Steinklobber. This is John's son and former co-host of the wonderful Red School Bus. So welcome to the show, James.
Well, thank you for having me.
No, we're glad to have you, dude. We appreciate you. John.
Yes.
Usually when I introduce you, you bless us with a...
Oh, a dad joke.
Yeah, a dad joke, yeah.
I kind of sneak those in there, but you know what? I want to pass the baton over to the middle chair.
Okay, here. Okay. James, hit us, man.
So these two guys, they were really thirsty for some juice. So they're going to their favorite place where they usually get juice from.
Yeah.
But they were worried there was going to be a long line. But when they entered, they realized there's no punchline.
It's a good one.
Thank you.
I didn't even give him that either.
Let's give him a hand, okay? Come on.
No punchline.
It hurts to do it, but you have to clap for him, you know?
Thank you. You have no choice.
Where's the crickets at? Because that's usually what shows up whenever I tell a joke.
Oh, you want sounds?
No,
I don't really have any sounds. Sorry. We're doing a theme show this week. It's called Pesky Parents, and we gave you plenty of time to get your stories in, and I hope you did. Well, hopefully we'll hear some stories from people even in the audience today, but we always like to start off with an opening story, and this one is from Josiah, and it's called Too Bad. Nope, that's not it. LBB.
One of the many tools of the devil.
Which is me right now.
No, we'll blame it on the Roadcaster.
Bell... Did I not load the stupid stories into the stupid computer?
Hey, we're professionals here, y'all.
All right. Well, Josiah, I'm so sorry, but your story was really good.
No.
But it was titled Too Bad. And too bad your story didn't get on the show.
Too bad.
We do have a review brought to you by podgagement.com, which is... Also run by our friend and IT specialist, Daniel J. Lewis. Daniel, put your hand up in the air one more
That's
time
the man.
In the back. Yeah. Podgagement
we share
is
a haircut.
Awesome.
We share a hairstylist, I guess, right?
Every week I get emails from all of the reviews from not just America, but from every iTunes store all across the world. And it's so good. It's so great. This week, Kawaii Love 2013 says, this is the best podcast ever. If you're looking for a PG clean comedy podcast, this is it. I don't think we go as far as PG. I think we're not PG-13 by any means. You know,
I don't know what
PG-13. You can get an F-bomb in. You know,
oh
yeah, if you're a movie,
you used to have one of those.
We're clean for those 13 and up. And I say that because we don't read stories from people under 13 anymore. Because I found out about the rules about that. There are rules.
Apparently.
So she says, the host, James Kennison, John Steinklauber, are great Christians. Are we?
What?
If you say so.
That's... I'm honored.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't call myself
I don't even know how to spell Christians. I had to sound out the word. And they love to make people laugh worldwide. They can make anything funny and might make your day a little brighter. If I could give this podcast 1,000,000 stars, I would listen to it and love it. Quite love 2013, probably a middle schooler. What do you think?
I'm going to say no.
Oh.
Because they say we're great Christians.
What do you
they
think?
Must have mature distinction to be able to do that.
Well,
yeah, but homeschoolers are mature. So maybe a homeschool middle schooler.
James, you're the closest to one.
Well, did you write it?
No.
Okay. That username and I would have to have a dog.
No, I think they were born in 2013.
Oh, yes. Wise.
I feel super smart now.
From the mouths of babes.
So
right
how old
there.
Would that make them or her?
11? Am I right?
Oh, gosh.
No, yes, that's right.
You mean 13?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, 2013 was 13 years ago, right, everybody?
Yep.
Here
we
Please
are
leave us
math.
A review on iTunes. It really helps the show. You're supposed to be 13 to get on iTunes in the first place, so somehow or another, somebody lied to somebody.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying. So, it's time for us to do some stories.
Just try all of them.
No.
It's not that kind of story.
Okay, I think I actually have to stop that. This is so terrible. Because you know why? I'm going to tell you in a minute.
What are you going to tell me?
Let me play this.
There you go.
Let me tell y'all a story.
Our next story is a voicemail.
Oh.
That's why it's terrible. It's from Sam. It's called Gatorade. Let's listen to it. I don't have it.
That was a great story, James.
We'll play that later.
See, this is the little surprise that you get when you go back and listen to the show in real life. Okay, it's like, oh, I heard that at the show.
The one time. You think I'd know how to podcast.
This isn't normal.
This is so messed up.
Don't have a live studio audience.
I don't have internet. I don't have access to Gmail. Everything is a mess. But we do have a story from TJ Bunkall. It's called The Challenge. TJ is he's a good friend of the show.
He's a regular.
I've had lunch with him here in St. Louis. He says, my mom takes great satisfaction and joy in humiliating her children. Are there any parents in the room that can relate? I love embarrassing my kids, and I'm not a mom.
I'd love to humiliate your kids.
They eventually start getting mad at you. No, it's weird. So when my sister and I were both in elementary, we lived a block away from the school, but the road between was too busy for students to cross by themselves, so my mom would walk us to school. She would go with us in her sweats, with her hair that definitely was not ready for the day. I think it was just another one of her ways to humiliate us. Being a good mother, though, she'd make sure to hold her kids' hands as we crossed the busy street. My sister found this incredibly embarrassing being a third grader. But mom took this as a challenge. Oh, you think you're embarrassed now? That's what I always say. You think that was embarrassing? So hands like a vice, my mom would hold onto our hands and started skipping and singing across the road.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Sure, this was embarrassing for me, but I was younger. I found it hilarious that my sister would try to turn into a shadow and disappear. You should try to turn into a bat, then you can fly away.
That's what works for me.
You can't catch a bat in a hand.
I haven't done that since Target, though.
It's true. It's been a long time. This trend of embarrassing children continued into teenagehood, this time in malls and amusement parks. I wasn't bothered by it, so I don't have a specific story other than my sister constantly going, Mom, stop it! TJ Bunkall. Thank you, TJ,
for your
story. We love it.
That's how you know you're doing it right as a parent, when your kids say, stop it.
You're embarrassing me. I used to embarrass my daughter, but she was very young, and I'd play a game with her, and I'd be like, it was called the I Don't Know You game. She would want to hold my hand. She was very small.
Call that one.
And I
my friends play that all the time.
I would let her hand go, and I'm like, don't hold my hand. And she would try to hold my hand, and I'm like, I don't even know you. Get away from me. And she's like, please don't leave me here alone. So it was good for her. It was good for her. But at one point, it backfired because we were at Walmart, and we were walking up to the front, and she suddenly lets go of my hand and says, don't touch me. I don't even know you. I'm like, Jenna, that's not funny. Leave me alone. I don't know who you are. Don't hold my hand. People are looking. This little blonde girl being chased around by this heavyset white dude, you know.
I bet you had a mustache, too.
I've always felt like I looked like a creep, you know. Like, even when I was a kid, I look in the mirror, and I'm just like, I'm going to be on a milk carton someday, you know. Instead of, have you seen this kid, it's going to be, have you seen this guy, because he's got all the kids from the other milk cartons, you know. But anyway, yeah, that time turned his back on me because I was trying to grab her for real and get her out of there as soon as possible.
And,
but,
and the more the attention gets called to it, the more you're like, okay.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, I was never a guy that wanted to buy my kid to get him to shut up, like buy him something, you know? Yeah. But then I was like, do you want a candy bar or something? You know? Thankfully, she didn't have to go to the bathroom or something because then they would have been on me.
That would have been.
Like, what are you doing, sir? No, my we're going to take turns and tell parent stories now.
Okay.
That was a parent story on me, but I remember the first time I ever got embarrassed. First really? Time. Most people remember first the first time they got kicked in the junk or the first time they got the wind knocked out of them. I remember the first time I was embarrassed.
Okay.
Okay. And I remember the first time my pants got pulled down in front of my parents, but that's a different story.
Ah.
That was so bad. It was terrible. I was holding my brother and he started acting up and his foot got caught in my pajama pants and I was dropping him. And I didn't want to let him fall, but so he slowly pulled down my pants in front of my parents, and they laughed so hard. And I gently left him on the ground and jerked my pants off and ran in my room and cried like a grown man. I cried very deeply.
What had happened to me?
These kid people have already seen me cry. They know how I cry. I cry like this, and my voice gets really high. It's terrible. It's embarrassing.
What do you mean by that?
Thanks a lot, Chris Cowan.
You have to listen to the first show to get this one, I guess. So go back and listen to Shift Storm.
I'll put a link in the show notes to this episode of Shift Storm. Yeah, I think I said it right, didn't I? Okay, so my mom said, let's get ice cream. And we were like, yay, because it was the best. And it's McDonald's. And it's, you know, how many times do you go to McDonald's? I don't know about you, but I only went when my mom took me to the doctor. Because we would go to Jacksonville,
right?
And mom could only afford to pay for one of us at a time, and so we would get McDonald's. So this was a huge deal. There's five of us, or three of us in the car, and my mom, and we're getting McDonald's. Mm. And the lady pours up the things, and she puts them in the little cup holder things, and my mom holds them, and she says, these are kind of drippy. Can I get them redone? And the lady's well, no, I can't. She's like, well, I'd really like them redone. Can I talk to your manager? So this was way before Karen. My mom was a Karen before Karen. She was a hipster Karen. And the lady's like, ma'am, there's nothing really I can do. She said, well, pow, oh, no.
Whoa.
She turned that whole thing over and threw it at that lady and shifted it into drive and peeled out of there. And we all cried.
Yeah.
But more than tears, I felt for the first time that embarrassment. My mom threw those ice creams at that lady, and has ice cream running down her. My mom is a witch.
I wasn't going to say anything, but
that was when it started, and it hasn't gotten better. I call her once a month. I love my mom. I honor her, but that was not a good.
Do you ever bring it up?
Hey, Mom, I will.
Do you remember that time?
She don't remember. She's been mean so many times since then. You think she can keep track of that? She's Santa Claus with her naughty list of all the times she's been bad. Mm. No, dude. There's no way. There's no way she remembers that. John, do you have a parent story?
I do. And this is not, it's maybe funny for somebody else, so we'll just go that route. My mom is a nurse. And God bless the nurses of the world because they are the best.
They are.
They can do and talk about things. What?
Except for Stacy Lowry. She's a good nurse and a bad person.
So. No, being a nurse absolves anything that you've ever done.
Oh, does it? Okay.
It does. Have you ever been sick in the hospital?
I have.
They help you?
I had a nurse that saw more than me than my wife has ever seen in me. So,
That's a different show.
Yeah.
But my mom is a nurse.
Different theme show, anyway.
For many, mark that in the calendar. Yeah, we're going to get back to that
because
I need to hear that story someday. Yep. But my mom was a labor and delivery nurse for many years. It's a surprise that we ever had kids because I'm the opposite of what a nurse can think. So nurses can talk and think about gross things and things.
And have no problem.
No problem at all.
At dinner.
And this is where this
freaking
is going.
Crazy.
And I get grossed out just talking about broken fingers or cuts or lesions or whatever they're called. But my mom, God bless her. I love you, Mom, if you're listening.
I hope my mom doesn't listen. Just thought about that. I've been talking about her for 18 years.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's why you got the cookie jerky, isn't that right?
That's right.
Probably what it was cookie for. Jerky. Go back and listen to that episode. You'll love it.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
But we were at dinner one night, and my mom was talking about something, and I don't even know what this word means, and I don't want to know what it means, but she was talking about fistulas.
What?
Yeah. Fried chicken.
Is that a woman part?
No, I don't think so. It's
okay.
I don't know what it is. She was explaining it because what's a fistula?
I got to look it up.
And I don't know what it means. I've blocked it from memory, but I just remember trying to eat fried chicken.
Uh-oh.
And mom talking about fistulas from work or something. And
okay. It's not as bad as you think.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's still gross. It doesn't go with fried chicken.
It's an abnormal connection between two body parts that usually don't connect.
I don't know why.
Such as organs, blood vessels, or intestines.
Wonderful.
I'm glad it's not a lady part. I get grossed out. About lady parts. I'm sorry, ladies. I don't understand you. You are beautiful, wonderful people. But all your parts are weird. And
just don't talk about fistulas during dinner, okay?
Yep.
Thanks, Mom.
I didn't know there were bonus content to the whole thing. So,
but that's pesky parents. So that's not just I'll just say that's my mom. That's my mom. Because she can talk about stuff anytime.
I know a nurse. And she's labor and delivery. Her name is I've only known her forever. Sherry Godbout, and I was like, have you ever in the course? Because sometimes I like to beg for punishment.
You're glutton for punishment.
Yeah, glutton for punishment. So I'm like, hey,
have you ever had anything splash on you? Come on,
I'm being funny, right? No, I ain't grossing her out. I didn't get anything on her. She's like. Oh, I've had more than... So, have you had anything splash on your face? She's like...
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah, I have. I'm like, that's good. And I was done. She's like, no, I've had it in my mouth.
Oh.
I suddenly have cerebral palsy. Dude, that's so gross.
Yeah, thank you.
No, thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a labor and delivery nurse and all the work that you do. And you've given me a lisp. Because I can't talk right after hearing about that. So, what about you, James? You have a story about
your
parents?
Please save this show.
Did you not tell yours?
I just told it. Wait. I'm talking about grandma. Your grandma.
Oh.
My mom.
Okay.
It's your turn.
She's a pesky parent in that she can talk about gross things during dinner.
Okay. Well, this story has been told, but I think it's worth retelling.
Yeah, absolutely. So, is it about your dad?
He's getting old like
us,
James.
It is, actually. So.
Good. Best kind.
Long time ago, when I was about 8 or 9, I was at home doing homework. Like, I think I was home alone.
Homeschool, yeah.
Yeah, homeschooled. And whenever I do homework, I listen to music and stuff. And I was listening on our Alexa, which we had a long time ago. And I was listening, and then all of a sudden it turns off. I'm like, Alexa, resume music. And it wouldn't turn on. And then until finally, the voice of Alexa, which is usually female, changes to male. And I'm like, what in the world?
I remember this story. Yep. It's so good, y'all.
Yeah, and I started having like a conversation with it, like early AI or something. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to turn this off. And he was like, please don't. I'm afraid of the dark.
Why did the voice tell you not to turn it off?
It was afraid of the dark. And I was like, oh. And then I felt bad for it.
I have to step in and say he was very young, okay?
Yeah.
He was young.
This was not last weekend.
No.
Maybe.
And then later I asked it to resume my music, and it played it again, but it was very low quality.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded like I was listening through it through a tin can or something.
It sounded like somebody was holding a microphone next to their speaker.
Yeah.
The song was playing.
Yep. But
I wonder what that was.
Then it said, incoming call, and said, your dad. And I was like, okay, answer call. And my dad started talking to me, and he said that he'll be coming home soon. And then, yeah. And that was actually the day I did a podcast with you, like my first podcast.
Yes.
It's That Sun Show,
That Sun Show,
what you called it.
And the embarrassing part is he reveals to me that it was him that was doing it the entire time.
On the show.
And I was like, come on, Dad. What? I thought there was a new update.
Alexa got an update and a new voice change.
Yeah,
that was probably the best practical joke I've ever pulled on my children.
Oh, man.
Probably.
Okay, so while you're thinking about this, because I want to have somebody give an opportunity for somebody to come up and share a family story. If you have one, I'm going to share mine, and then we're going to open the floor, okay?
All right.
So speaking of Alexa, back before Alexa's, what we had was intercoms. Do we remember those days? The rich people had intercoms.
That's right.
Or the poor people who lived so far away from their front door that you had to push a button and call them so that because they would never hear the knocker on the door. And that's the way my grandmother's house was built. Because there was a breezeway and a garage, and you actually entered the house through the garage. You pushed the button, she would let you in. Hey, whatever is going on. I was a grown man. I wanted to have my sister, who still lived at home, to come visit in Macon, where I was living. And my mom was completely against it. I mean, religiously against it. Like, I don't feel the Holy Spirit is vibing with this, is literally what she said. So it wasn't enough for her to not want me to take her. God got involved. And it's amazing I even like God, you know, because of all the things that were blamed on God when I was a kid. So what I decided to do is I went out in the garage, and I knew that that intercom system was still hooked up. And it was right behind my mom's chair in the living room.
Oh.
So I went out to the garage, and I pushed that button, and I, as loud as I could, I was like, Drusilla, this is God. I heard her scream from the garage. They told me later she fell out of her chair immediately, hit the floor. I said,
stop praying.
Amy needs to go with James to Macon. I have work for her to do there. By the time I go in there, all I hear is, I'm going to pee.
Should have used that opportunity to tell her not to throw ice cream at the McDonald's worker.
That's true, Bob. Yeah. The funny thing is, it worked. I don't know. The Holy Spirit suddenly was fine with me taking Amy on this trip.
Wow.
And we got to go and we had a great time.
Nice.
So not only was it hilarious, the voice of God actually worked. My mom listened to him as he spoke through the... So,
like
you know, when angels say, do not be afraid, that might be why, because they're like, hey, what's going on?
You know? Just scary.
I don't know.
Angels are probably scary.
So does anybody out there have a story that they would like to step up to the mic and share? Come on up, Daniel Lewis.
Oh, goody.
Daniel J. Lewis, let's welcome him to the microphone. All right.
So this isn't a story about my parents, but how I was the pesky parent.
Okay.
And I'm glad that John is here, because he's going to love this one.
Okay.
So this was when my son was only about maybe 3 or 4 years old, and it's just he and I at home, and I'm helping him to brush his teeth and get ready for bed. And while I'm there...
Red Ninja.
In the background.
There he is.
While I'm there helping him, I have to say the F word here, the homeschooler F word.
Oh.
Fart.
Okay.
The homeschool. How many letters are in that?
Yeah, it's the four-letter F word.
Yeah, they're mostly because, four letters.
Yeah, for homeschoolers, yeah. That is the F word. But
that's true.
Know,
that's
fart,
true.
Fart.
There, fart. Fart. That's go. Okay to say on the show.
Okay. It's a
I'm
funny
helping
word.
Him get ready for bed, and
you.
I farted.
Okay, you farted. Okay.
He's confessing okay. in front of people. I don't really do that.
You, now, you're a man. You're a real man. I want to say. Well, I honor you.
When that happened, yeah. I'm trying to teach him to have some control and excuse himself if something happens. So I say, excuse me, to him. And then what he does, though, is after he hears that, he sticks his bottom out and lets out a fart. And then he bursts out laughing. And that's when my little boy became a man.
Yes.
There you go.
That's right, Redman.
I hope this makes it on the show.
Oh!
Yes.
Nailed it. Totally. I did one thing right during the daggum show.
I heard that.
Anybody else have a story they want to share? Come on, let's bring the mic to him. If I could get a helper to yes, Yum. Thank Chris. Chris is going to bring the mic over to you, sir.
Okay, here it is.
All right, we want to hear about your mama or your daddy.
All right. My name is Christopher Heltzley. I am the son of Keith Heltzley. And this is a story about him.
All right.
Whenever
the NL cast grandpa.
Yeah.
Whenever we lived in Michigan, I was, mid 90s. It was like 95, 96. And we had just finished dinner. Mom was busy working. It was just all the boys at home, me, dad, and my three brothers. And, of course, my youngest brother at the time, Ben, he was born in the year 1990. And my little brother, Nate, he was pretending, like all kids, that he was a dog.
What?
He was pretending like he was a dog.
He was pretending to be a dog.
Yeah, I never did that.
I'm
just kidding.
And he was definitely, he was definitely pretending. And,
how far did he go?
Well, he was shaking people's hands, specifically dad's hand.
Okay, all right.
Did he visit the fire hydrant?
Did
That's
he lift his leg?
He may have. I don't remember that much. But he did try to shake hands with doggy style with dad. And dad's like, hey, don't do that. You don't want to be back there. And dad's, dad could still
shake hands doggy style. I just got that. He tried to sniff his dad's butt. That almost went right over my head.
Yeah. Okay. I am 6 and a half
feet tall. And I'm the dumbed one.
I am 6.5 feet tall, so it might have happened.
Stuck on that so hard. I'm like, there's more there. Just dig.
I was attempting to be a little bit nicer for your show.
It was like digging in scripture when there's about to be a breakthrough and God has something for you. I knew there was something there. Anyway, continue, sir.
Well, it just so happens, we're all milling around after dinner. Dad's getting dishes washed or getting started. And then all of a sudden, my little brother Nate, he is like, sniffing. And then all of a sudden, my dad just goes,
that'll teach him.
And then my little brother just goes, oh no!
He goes,
and he learned his lesson. He never pretended to be a dog.
Yes! Yes!
I tell that story because I actually have a second story that ties into this story.
Uh-oh.
Because my brother David, after years and years of growing up,
he lost his sense of smell.
Well, of my family, that is the truth. That could happen. But, He'd told his kids about Uncle Nathan's adventure being a dog. And they thought it was hilarious.
Of course.
And, of course, they tried with him. They did not learn the lesson. And they continued to
sniff butts.
Put their noses down there.
You're such a nice guy.
Shake hands like dogs.
And
let me all the way up to myself.
He did say doggy style, didn't he?
I just
want to point that out.
Yeah, I did.
So for the first time in 18 years, we have to censor the show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I
am only a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
And I have no
idea. What does that mean? That's John's line, isn't it? What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
But of course, they didn't learn until eventually they were like, ew, dad, gross. And yet, despite that, every single one of his kids have done that. But the worst part is my brother David has... I think he still, actually, whenever he has the opportunity, will walk up behind him.
How old is he now?
David is 3 years younger than I am.
Oh,
so.
Goodness.
Still in his 30s.
Let's all take a minute, just reach out our hands and pray for David right now. Let's just take that to the Lord immediately. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Chris. I appreciate it. Does anybody else have a story they want to share? Speak now or forever hold your pieces. Oh, okay, we got one.
That looks like an involuntary story.
Would you rather have the mic brought to you? We can do that. All right. We can bring it down a few feet, too. This, just for those that are in the podcast world, there's a very short lady just came up to the microphone.
She's fun size. Is that
She's
right?
She's never heard that joke before.
I'm sorry.
No, not at all.
All right. State your name for the record, please.
I'm Susan Holloway, and I'm from Arkansas.
All right.
So when me and Nate met, well, actually when we started talking to each other, I was 28, and the very first time he came to see me, he drove 10 and a half hours to my house to see me. Wow. And my mom is a very loud lady, and she doesn't mind voicing her opinion and saying stuff.
Yeah.
And
I got
so,
one of those.
So when he walks in the door, it was the very first time he'd ever been to my house. He walks in the door and she says, no, no, absolutely not. Oh. You cannot marry her. And I'm over in the corner just dying. And I'm like, are you kidding me, mom? And so he says he almost turned around and just walked back out the door. That's my embarrassing story about parents.
Thank you,
Wait,
Sherry. That's
did
great.
You marry her?
Did you? Are you guys married? Is there a happy ending? Are these kids adopted?
They've got four kids.
Was she right?
Three kids. Three. You know? Yes.
No, they look like a happy couple.
I would say
mom is wrong. That reminds me of my mom. I brought my wife home, and if you look at her, you would never guess that she's a day over 55, right? I'm just kidding. She's not even. She's like 34. Four, I think, is really how she is.
Something.
She's 3 years younger than I am, and I'm 50. Okay, so.
I don't do math.
You look at her, and you would never guess that her age, okay? She has looked young since she was 16, and I brought her home at 16. She looked 12, okay? Oh. Which, what does that say about me when I hit on her for the first time? Okay, I was at McDonald's. She was with a friend of mine. I thought she was cute. I knew she was she would have driven her own car. So there, covering myself again with the blood of Jesus. All right. Anyway, my wife will back this up. We walk into the room. We walk past my mom because my mom is evil, right? And we're scared of her. We're scared. And
I always was.
We go into the kitchen and all of us are like breathing a sigh of relief, but we're not done yet because my mom yells from the living room, kind of young, ain't she?
Kinda young.
And we had to exist through that. My mom still doesn't care for Jen. She's given her two grandchildren, you know? Huh. And she still thinks she's a little too young. And I'm glad. I'm glad I lucked out, man.
True.
Okay.
Oh, so mom loves Nate now. Good deal.
Favorite son-in-law.
Yeah. That's amazing. Good deal. Oh, crap.
I'm my mother-in-law's favorite son-in-law, too. She doesn't have any other daughters. So, but, you know, sometimes she says I'm her favorite son, too.
All right, we got another story here just in time from Stephanie. It's called High Life. Okay, I've got a story about my mother's antics while growing up in the 80s.
Oh.
Things were very different then than they are now. One of my chores as a child was to bring a grocery bag out of my mom's car and collect the Miller Lite cans out from under her car seat.
What? Okay. Wait, was this before the Don't Drink and Drive campaign that they...
No, it was not.
It was not. She was picking them off the side of the road. She had to.
I still remember going to the package store with my mom, the ABC store.
Yeah.
And she would talk about how, I was like, why do they put them in a paper bag? Because it's not okay to drink and drive. And we lived in Florida, you know, the South. And I took that so literally that every time I saw someone take a drink from a McDonald's straw or something, I'm like, they're going to get caught.
They're going to go into jail.
They're going to go to the police. Anyway.
I thought that too, by the way.
Same here.
Drinking and driving.
Don't drink and drive.
Some people might have found that out for the first time. It's just alcohol.
It's because the cup blocks
you. You're allowed to drink out of a bottle while you're driving. I thought, though, my logic was the Big Gulp was the only, from the 7-Eleven was the only drink I was familiar with because my mom would always get a big tab. You know,
big tab.
You remember tab?
Yep.
And she would drink it and it would cover her eyes. And I would wonder, how is she seeing and driving? No wonder this is illegal.
Yeah. You can't drink and drive.
So one of my chores was cleaning out the bar from underneath my mom's driver's seat. Some days I needed to go back inside for a second bag.
Oh, no.
I never really thought anything about it unless I was reminded after dark. And then my child-sized brain was always afraid someone or something would be hiding in the dark under the car to grab me. Do you remember how scared you would be going out to get something? Yeah. Like mom tell you to take the trash out after dark, and you would walk, and you'd take a flashlight, and you got it in there, and then you'd do the worst thing possible. You would run like crazy to try to get back to the car, and the devil would be right behind you, and you could feel his fingers reaching out to grab the back of your neck, and you would do in one motion, open the door, swing around, and slam it behind you, and then you were finally safe.
I still do that. Seriously.
So she was always afraid of somebody getting her. We lived out in the woods, and that's what I'm describing. I lived out in the woods, too, with no street lights. The porch light was barely enough light to see the car. Man, I hated doing that. Pesky parents to the max. Of course, as an adult, I can't believe that it was normal to actually send your child out to make more room under your driver's seat for more empty road beer cans. Great parenting, Mom. Wow. Thanks for the laughs, guys. Stephanie.
Stephanie. Might need to take your mom to intervention or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I got to say, my mom always waited till we got home to pop open that package. I never got it, though. Like, literally last week, I remember being in the drive-through line and hearing about drinking and driving and realizing we were at the ABC liquor store. Did anyone else have a story before I move forward? This is your last of the last.
There's a hand.
Oh, we got one. Well, come on up.
That hand. Come forward and
state your name for the record and make sure you remember you got to ride home with these people.
That's right.
Yep.
Because so, mom and dad are both here.
My name's Kayrie Holloway. I'm from Arkansas. So this is about my mom. So a few, I don't know, maybe it was years ago. I don't know. It was a while back. We were at my grandma's house.
Hey, wait, real quick. Real quick. One question.
Okay.
Are you in middle school?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. One second.
We have
it's more
to
about
give
my brother
you a
than
special.
Me, though.
Wait one second. Okay.
Move out of the way, stupid.
Okay, now you can.
So, and Rainer started calling her name. He said, Mom, Mom. And she said, that's not my name anymore. I changed it. He's like, what? So, but how's that? But no. And so he kept saying her name, Mom, Mom, Mom. She's like, that's not my name anymore. I changed it. He started bawling. He was crying his eyes out. And she finally said, okay, Rainer, calm down. I didn't change my name, okay? He thought it was the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. I remember when my mom found out she had a name besides Mom. Do you remember that as a kid?
Yeah.
My mom's name turned out to be Drusilla.
That might
and
be
if
the
you
first
type
time
that into
that.
Word perfect, it tries to correct it to Dracula. Thank you for your story. Let's give her a hand. Yeah.
I think your brother's a little upset with you now.
Yeah, he's a little mad. That was years ago when you were still wearing pull-ups, buddy. We're okay.
Yeah,
we know you've grown up past that now. You know what? In two more years, you come back, we'll do Scary Sisters, okay?
Yes.
You can tell some stories about her. All right. This one's called Dumb Dad, and it is a long one. It's by Mackenzie from Fairgrove, Missouri. Why aren't you here? Pesky is a great word to describe this story about my dad. I was 12, and I was deep in the throes of those awkward preteen years. Mm. I had the whole look. Frizzy hair, glasses, braces, just the worst of everything. This story is about a time that my dad managed to make that look even worse than it already was, which is saying something. Mm. I was fast asleep one night when I woke to the sound of my door opening. Through sleepy eyes, I saw my dad at the doorway. Before saying anything, he flipped on the light. irritated, but figuring surely there was something major going on for him to wake me up in the middle of the night and turn the light on, I said, "What's wrong? Where are your glasses?" Dad said. I said, I had no idea why he'd be asking me such a thing. I was half asleep. He just repeated the question, seemingly irritated that I hadn't just answered it. So I told him, "They're probably downstairs in my book bag." And I asked him why he wanted to know. He just said, "No reason." He turns off the light, shuts the door. Barely awake and very confused, I rolled over and just went back to sleep. Next morning, I figured it must have been a dream. So I wrote it off. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't even mention it to Dad until we were getting ready to leave for school, and I found my glasses not in my book bag, but sitting near the kitchen table. And this is weird, right? Since I always put them away at night. But whatever. However, when I put them on my face, they didn't feel right. They were super loose, and they felt very crooked on my nose. So I went to the bathroom and found out, sure enough, they were sitting cockeyed on my nose, and the arms were sticking way out to the sides. The memory from the night before flooded back, so I went to ask my dad about it. "Dad, did you use my glasses last night?" "Yeah," he says, "but they don't work." I asked what he meant. He told me he was trying to read something on his computer that was too small, but my glasses hadn't magnified it at all. I said, "Dad, they're not readers. They're prescription. Of course they didn't work for you, and they're way too small anyway." He just scoffed. How does a dad scoff? Yeah.
Well, you know, you're a kid.
Yeah, you dumb kid. He said, "That didn't make any sense." Being a moody preteen, I said something smart like, "Daddy, you don't make any sense, Dad." At that time, I was so mad because I had to go to school with bent-up glasses from his giant head. It ended up being okay. I bent them into shape, and eventually I got a new pair out of the deal. But boy, did I hold a grudge for a while, as if middle school isn't tough enough. Mackenzie from Fairgrove, Missouri. Thank you, Mackenzie.
Thanks, Mackenzie.
All right.
Kenzie? Mackenzie. I don't know what you said. I can't read it that
It's far, Mackenzie. I spelled it
I
wrong,
need to
John.
Her
don't look at the show
so
notes.
I can see it.
It's you and Jen. Both of you are against me.
What?
I'm with you, James.
All right, one more story about my mom. So we had chickens growing up, and we had a chicken coop. And my mom got a rooster for that chicken coop.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had eggs, obviously, but she wanted some fertilized eggs. And for those of you that are older, you know why she wanted a rooster. But roosters are mean. And every day I would go in and get the eggs. I don't know why. She wanted baby chickens, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And the rooster would get up high.
The hens, they pass away.
Yeah,
so you want to keep getting
eggs, she wanted
eggs,
to refresh
right?
it. And it was weird. But sometimes I had to go out there and feed them. And this rooster would get up high and jump on my neck and attack me.
Jerk
and they
rooster.
Have spurs. Do you
yeah,
know?
They do. Yes. Like sometimes a couple few inches long.
Yes, yes. And they would attack me. And one day I had enough. And I swung that feed bucket when he launched himself at him. I hit him straight in the head and knocked his silly butt out. And then I thought I had killed him and I was going to die. So I went from absolute victory to terror instantly. Like
you were too accurate with
it
that
isn't
swing.
That childhood in the 80s in a nutshell is, let's have so much fun. And now how do we get out of this?
Yeah, that's it.
Why am I agreeing?
Like, you would literally let your sister bleed out and die before you would go in and ask for help because you're like...
Because you were the one that chopped
her hand
off.
Nobody was hanging upside down from the ladder, okay? We have to agree on this.
You get your story straight before
yeah,
you go
exactly.
inside. I just need something to stop
so
bleeding.
So I resuscitated that rooster. I did not give him chicken-style mouth-to-mouth or whatever.
Beak
I don't even
mouth.
Know what that means. But he did kind of like drunkenly arise from the ground. Yeah. He looked a little like a Muppets puppet. Hello, ladies. I'm still cool, right? I'm the only option you have. Yep. Remember that. So I went in there and I told Mom. I didn't tell her I hit him. I said, that rooster is attacking me every time I go out. Don't you hurt my rooster.
Okay.
I could hear it just like she said it yesterday. Don't you hurt my rooster.
And she knew what you were going to do.
She knew.
She knew you
I said, I'm going to hit him with a bucket every time he does this. I'm going to hit him with a bucket. I know I got victory in Jesus' name.
Overcome that dare chicken.
So one day, Mom went out to feed the chickens. That rooster got up high. And he attacked her. Uh-oh. That was it. Rooster's life was over, okay? She let him out of the chicken coop, and he was running loose, and we were scared. But Mom wasn't scared because she was on a mission. She went to the closet, and she got a 12-gauge shotgun.
Yeah.
And with us watching, she got that Joker in her crosshairs, and first time, shot his head right off.
Okay.
He was still walking around, though, because chickens... Have you ever heard the phrase walking around like a chicken with your head cut off?
Yeah.
They're so dumb that they don't need their brains to live for a limited time only. And so she's like, James, get the shovel. So I got the shovel and I dug a hole. I knew what my job was to do. I was the oldest child, the oldest male child. I was to dig a grave for this chicken. And the chicken was kind of walking around. So I prodded him with the shovel and steered him. And he jumped in. To the hole.
Jumped into the hole.
He jumped in the hole. I drugged the head, and the head was dead. The head was not alive. He wasn't, like, looking around or anything. And I buried, still thriving, you know, life form.
There you go. Take your little dirt nap.
Yeah.
It's time for bed.
So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff my mom let us do, is she shot a chicken. It was also the only time I ever saw my mother run.
Oh.
Yeah, because the first plan...
Why was she running?
Well, my mom's a very big woman, okay? I got it, honestly. Very big woman. All of us, so the chicken was loose, right? At first, she wanted to catch it and give it to somebody. That was her plan, okay? So she didn't go right to the devil's idea. She tried to catch it, and it got really close to her, and she ran. None of us had ever seen her run, and we all looked at each other. All my siblings, like, we crossed eyes, like, are we going to get in trouble now because we saw something we shouldn't see? You know?
Run!
You know, like Noah's sons, when they saw him naked, you know, he got cursed, you know?
That's right.
Like, did we just see something we weren't supposed to see? Are we in trouble now, you know?
Yep.
And so we saw her run for the first time, and we still talk about it when we get together. You remember when Mom ran? Like, now she's so old she couldn't run if she wanted to. But, I saw her run, and I saw her shoot the head off of a full-grown rooster. And so life was good for me.
That was a good day.
Great. Yeah, it was a great day. So pesky parents for the win, you know?
James, have you ever seen me run?
I don't know. Maybe.
Don't say it. Don't answer it. I'm sure I do it all the time.
Yeah.
All right.
When you're not looking.
We have a couple of announcements to make. Hats are still available on Etsy.com, even though we're here at Narthex, and I promised you that they'd all be gone. No one has bought any yet. So they are on sale for $20 for people here at NarthexCon. But you can get yours on Etsy for $25 plus shipping, fool. So also, this podcast is made possible because of our supporting listeners on Patreon. Get That Story Show Premium, which includes ad-free listening, swag, and more, plus a weekly bonus podcast. Try it out free for 7 days at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. Thank you so much to our producers, James Spengler, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. And that is us. Remember, do you have a story that you'd like featured on a future episode? Submit your story at thatstoryshow.com. And remember, something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you. Don't get stressed. Don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John. Thanks, James.
Thank you.
All right.
And James.
And thank you, live studio audience. All right, let's see if we got something.
Recap song.
Okay, yeah, here you go.
Good. My name is Mom, but I'm tired of hearing it. So next time you call me that, I'm changing it, ain't it? So then you call me Mom, and I say, nope, my name is Beverly or something else. The next time you cope, you can't cope with that, can you? Because you're so darn small. And I'm small, too, but to you, I'm pretty darn tall. So anyway, as we move right along, I'll sing a song about how my mom shot a chicken's head off.
Why?
Nice.
I buried him in the ground, and he didn't even make a sound. So now, let's move right along to a guy that went doggy style. He sniffed a butt, and he made me smile. I thought it was a pretty good story once I figured it out. I think I need someone else to help me find out what it means when you say you have a doggy style handshake. I thought I needed to go to the Urban Dictionary, and I found out I don't have anything else that rhymes. So now I'm going to quit by the time this song is over. Peace out, peeps.
Hey,
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.